We love a little bit of drama around here. Secrets, affairs, backstabbing, betrayal. Prime Video has it all included, like the new history-bending love story, My Lady Jane, and the sexy romantic new movie, The Idea of You, starring Anne Hathaway. Or add on channels like Max for drama-filled favorites like HBO original, The White Lotus. Find your happy place. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
If you're craving that perfect touch of creaminess in your coffee, look no further than Coffee Topper's Cold Foam. With 5 irresistible flavors like Very Vanilla, Melty Mocha, and Marshmallow, you can elevate your coffee experience by adding a deliciously foamy layer to your favorite brew, hot or cold. Each can tops up to 20 cups of coffee. That's great value. Go to coffeetoppersfoam.com, find it at your closest retail location, or have it delivered from Amazon straight to your house. That's coffeetoppersfoam.com.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's just-arrived collection of swim and other sun-ready silhouettes. Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy push-up bra in on-trend hues like green, citron, and black shine. Rewind to the future with the VS Archive swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Wendy's has another sweet reason to get out of bed, the new cinnamon pull apart. It's at Wendy's, satisfying all your sweet morning cravings with all the bakery inspired flavors you love from Cinnabon, like sweet warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough, the perfect ooey gooey texture, and a little dollop of that signature cream cheese frosting. It's all served in a way that's easy to eat and easy to love. Get the best part in every single bite with Cinnabon Pull Apart. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. The new Cinnabon Pull Apart. Only at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Today's daily highlight from Elvis Duran and the Morning Show.
Live from the Mercedes-Benz Interview Lounge.
When is it not a great time to have Matthew Hussey pay us a visit? I hope not today. Hi, Matthew.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello.
I went immediately to Cockney then.
Don't make me bring Andrew in here. You know when Andrew does his Matthew Hussey impersonation? Mm-hmm.
It can't be called a Matthew Hussey impersonation. It's some sort of strange Dick Van Dyke, Mary Poppins,
no,
chimney sweep thing.
It sounds like
it's
you.
Not good. I can't believe any of you think it's good.
It is. It's good.
It's good. It's a caricature of your voice. It's not your voice. Enough of that. You have a book, okay? I think today is day two. The book is out, correct?
The book is officially out. Yeah, it was out yesterday, so people can order it now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And you know what? And it's too early because it's only a day in, but when they put that gold New York Times bestseller emblem on the front.
Don't jinx it.
Mm. No, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen?
No, thanks to the power of this show.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you on
I'm in safe hands now.
Is it on Audible? And do you do the
the voiceover?
The voiceover.
No, Andrew does. Andrew narrated the entire audio book.
Andrew, let's see how that would sound. I need some love music in the background.
Oh, Lord.
And then we got to talk about the book, what it's all about, because I have thoughts here. Mm-hmm. And Andrew, everyone.
Hi, Andrew.
All right, okay. Here, grab the book. Do you have any love music?
I do.
Okay.
Andrew's so uncomfortable
right now.
Can you
turn his microphone on? It's this one right
here. Okay. Good morning. Okay, this is not Matthew Hussey. This is an impersonator, Andrew. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Okay, very good.
Apparently, I sound like Dick Van Dyke or, you know, Mary Poppins or something, but...
All right, read a passage from your book, Matthew.
All right, this one's from the chapter about red flags. Treating people badly when they don't think you're looking. This red flag occurs when someone who's trying to impress you, seduce you, sleep with you, or make you fall in love with a person's selective version of who they are. Bad actors do this, sure, but so does everyone on their best behavior.
There you go.
I think it's pretty good.
Now you have to
pretty
read
good.
The same
page.
I think it is pretty good.
I think I'd rather hear his version than yours. Give me my book. You got too many.
That sounded like David Attenborough. Like
with tight
underwear. Book about love.
Thank you, Andrew.
Good job.
Thank you,
Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
Don't go too far.
Writing a book is an interesting journey, is it not?
Oh my God!
Because I know you turned in your first draft to the publisher, and they looked at you and said, "This is crap."
They didn't say it was crap.
Actually, no.
I got an email back from my publisher, who I love dearly, and I worked on her with her on her. I worked with her on my first book, and it was all great. And I sent her this email with chapters, like first chapters of this book. This was back in, I must have been 2018, 19. And I said to her, here it is. Like, I was like so excited. I was right. Like, just wait till you see this.
You were
10
like a
years
balloon
later.
Floating above the trees.
Yeah.
And she took a needle out and popped it.
She said, the first sentence she said was, I really wanted to like this.
Oh.
That was the first
that
sentence.
That hurt my feelings from afar.
It was brutal. And she said, it's so angry. She said, your tone here is so angry.
Well, were you angry at the time?
Yes.
Okay. So you know what? But you know the thing is, you recognize that you were in a dark space at that time, and the book came out dark. That means you were honestly writing that book.
I really was. Yeah, and I'd been going through for like at that point, 5 or 6 years of my life, I'd been going through real like physical chronic pain in my head and my ear. I had tinnitus, ringing in my ears nonstop. I still have that, but I had like pain in my ear and my head that. If for anyone who goes through physical chronic pain, you know, at a certain point it starts to kind of, you can get quite bitter with it because you just start to, it takes you out of your life.
Well, so, let's turn it around then. Yeah. Let's talk about how your journey then turned into one that gave us this book, which will be bestseller before you know it. I guarantee you.
Hmm.
I was skimming through, picked up a few things here and there, and it was true Matthew Hussey. It was you. It sounds so good. It feels warm. It has texture. It has taste. And even if you were blind, you would see a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful work of art here. You did a great job.
Thank you so, so much. It means the world to me. Coming from you, I've been doing this show for 10 years of my life at this point, which is crazy to me. I first came on the show when I was talking about my first book, and so much has happened since then. And also so much has happened, I feel like, in dating culture and the way people struggle to find love. You know, everyone wants to find love. That desire to find someone is universal. A lot of people don't want to date, but they want to find love. And it's hard for so many people out there right now. I know there'll be so many people listening who are so scared that it's never going to happen for them, or so sad that it hasn't worked out the way they thought it would by this point in their life. And what happens when that happens for long enough is we have this fear and anxiety that it's never going to happen. And when an internal culture of fear and anxiety meets an external dating culture of people giving as little as they can and taking as much as they can, that creates a recipe for us lowering our standards and accepting less than we're worth. And dating, that's what this book is about.
Dating is frightening. It can be if you let it. And you become your worst enemy. Let's talk about it. It's about relationships, right? We have relationships not only with people, but with ourselves. We have relationships with money and food and bosses and careers and an effed up world. Mm-hmm. Learning how to figure out how to master all these relationships makes you stronger. Then therefore, your relationship with a person will have a better chance of succeeding.
This is so true. I think we're in three relationships our entire life. One is our relationship with other people. The second is our relationship with ourselves. And the third is our relationship with life itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you 100%. If those other two relationships with life and with ourselves aren't great, it's going to impact everything. Because one of the reasons we don't have high standards is because we don't respect ourselves. We don't love ourselves. And then we go to someone else. And if we do have standards, they're almost like fake standards. They're like tactics. Mm-hmm. If I play hard to get, this person will come to me. But when a tactic doesn't work, we just change tactic. Oh, hard to get didn't work. Now let me text them. But when it's a standard, you don't change because you don't get the result you want. Like there was a time when my wife Audrey is in the room right now. And
hi, Audrey. there she is. Hi, Audrey.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
There was a moment where when we were dating, I was the one who was like doing the classic kind of fading a little bit.
We were game playing?
Not even game playing.
Yes.
We were dating. We weren't like in a relationship at that point. She was living in London. I flew back to LA and I was like, I can't, the long distance thing didn't appeal to me. And she hadn't heard from me for, you know, a couple of weeks at that point. And even before that, my texts and stuff had started to become more sporadic. And I look back on this now and I cringe, but I did the thing where I sent a message and said, I miss you. And this was after like a couple of weeks of no contact. And she sent me the ultimate standards message back. Most people in that situation, if they've got someone they like, will get excited or they'll be like, oh, I'm just glad they texted me.
Well, how did she respond?
She said, hey, I hope you're well. To be honest, when you say this, I'm not really sure what to say. We haven't felt that close for a while. And rightly or wrongly, this text comes off as a bid for attention.
Wow. Okay. Wow. I got goosebumps.
Good for you.
Because you know what? That is called just, I have nothing to lose. I'm going to be honest here. And so
my text would have said, bleep you, ass you know what.
Wow.
Which would have been fair too.
Right, which is basically the same thing.
Be like, oh, so your other girl stopped talking to you, so now you came back, did
you? There you go.
could your stumbling block in our potholes, as well as we call them, be that we're out of another relationship and we didn't learn from it? And you know, this is why a lot of people, your friends will say to you, you keep dating the same idiots over and over. We're not learning from the relationships that fail. That failing relationship could be the answer to the right relationship on the way, right?
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of us ever take enough time to really figure that out, or even just enough space for our nervous system to calm down from that last relationship, because we come out of these relationships and they are very familiar to us. We're used to a certain kind of toxicity, or we're used to a certain kind of chaos, a certain kind of push-pull. I had a woman, I write about this woman in the book, and the book is called Love Life, for anyone who wants to know. This woman, I coached her, and she said to me, I was with a guy for 2 years. It was really hard. I never really felt safe. I was constantly kind of, you know, chasing him, but I had this amazing chemistry with him. And now I'm out there dating again, and I feel like I don't have that feeling with the people who want me. She said, what can I do? How can I find that same feeling with someone who wants me? And I had to point out that the feeling she felt in the last relationship was actually an unnatural feeling to begin with. What she was calling chemistry was really constant, never-ending anxiety.
Oh, I bet.
And the truth is, that feeling we have when we chase someone in early dating that creates all of that excitement, it never ends if you're in a relationship where you still feel like you're chasing the person, where you feel like you're never really safe, you're never really secure. It's like the frenetic anxiety of early dating never ends. And then when that person inevitably leaves us or betrays us or cheats or doesn't want us anymore, we go looking for that feeling again. And you're not going to have that same feeling with someone who actually turns to meet you and starts asking you questions about yourself because they're genuinely interested in you and you feel safe with.
But don't some people just like the chase? Like, that's what they love. Like, getting the person, then when they get the person, they get bored.
But don't you get tired of chasing?
Maybe some people don't. I don't know.
I think so.
Well, that's the thing. You have to decide what to value in life. Because there are certain feelings that if you value them, there are certain highs that if you value them above all else, you'll spend a life chasing those highs. And that's okay, but there are consequences to that. And most of us don't want those consequences. At a certain point, we realize, oh, this isn't working for me anymore. So I don't think it's no judgment for people who are in that phase of their life. And most people have been through that phase of their life in one way or another. But at a certain point, I think we have to look at it and go, is this making me happy? Like, do I feel a sense of calm or peace, or am I constantly on edge?
Okay, stop right there. Repeat what you just said. I think this is important. You're in the chase with this individual you're having a relationship with. You know that you have the craziness, the late nights of like being worried and not feeling settled. You forget about checking in with yourself.
Yeah.
And it's what you just said. Say it again.
Is this actually making me happy, or am I just constantly trying to get this person without paying attention to how I actually feel?
Yeah. So on that note, somebody once said to me that the common denominator in every failed relationship that someone will have specifically me, is me. I'm the person that's constant in all of these different things. So if I'm not learning something from every failed relationship, because of course we want to look at the other person and be like, well, this is what they did wrong. You're never going to change the other person. You can only change yourself. But how do you nicely say that to your friends who keep going down this path and saying, everybody's crazy, everyone is making the wrong choice, I just always end up with a crazy person?
Yeah, that's an... Look, they may not be wrong for the behaviors they're pointing out in someone else, but we have to ask ourselves, why is it I keep going for people like this? Why is it, you know, if we keep complaining about a partner who is making us miserable or never there or constantly disrespecting us, and we hear ourselves for the 1,000th time telling the same story about this person, it doesn't mean we're wrong about this person. But why am I telling the story for the 1,000th time? What's going on with me?
We all know those people.
That I'm saying.
Why are you looking at me?
No, I wasn't looking at you.
I think there's we both have the same person's name in our heads.
It's understanding that there's something going on with me that I prefer complaining about this person than the alternative. Which is to leave or to find something better for myself. And why is it I'm uncomfortable with something better?
These are your questions you should be asking yourself. And don't be afraid to answer them. You may not get the answer immediately, but you have to at least start on your journey to figure it out. By the way, this is Matthew Hussey. Love Life is the name of his book that came out yesterday. How to Raise Your Standards, Find Your Person, and Live Happily No Matter What.
So you have a whole lot to say about red flags, which Andrew just read in his impression voice of you. Do you think that red flags have become a little more serious now that everybody has all of these options than they used to be? Because every one of us has a red flag at some point. Yeah. At what point do you say that's just a little character flaw, it's not that serious, versus, oh, this is awful, I'm out?
That's a great question. There's serious red flags, like someone's words never match their actions.
Right.
They can't apologize.
They never apologize.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a big one.
They've killed their ex. That'd be bad.
That would be bad.
That's a red flag.
No, we can move on.
Depends what they did.
That happened in a moment of passion.
Okay, sorry.
with all the true crime that's around, there's more famous people that killed their ex than ever.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, someone who continuously breaks promises. You know, there's big ones. But then there's just the everyday stuff that, you know, someone got a little bit jealous, or someone, you know, got scared, or someone was texted you a little too much, or like, it's, there are these things that we write each other off for really easily. And I think, I don't know, the more I kind of worked on myself and the more I got humbled by life in my own life, the more I had to learn to accept all these flaws in myself. I had to learn to accept all these parts of me that someone else had to work with me on and deal with. And right. Once I became more compassionate towards the flaws in myself, it had the effect, for me at least, of making me more compassionate for those flaws in others. When I think about the times in my life where I judged other people the most, it was usually when I was judging myself the most.
You're with someone and you realize that they're not flawed, but they are still on their path to try to figure themselves out, which may never happen in their lifetime. Right. But you love them. You see there's something in there that is just so fabulously fantastic. But you just know that they will always be that person who's going to cause turmoil. It's going to rear its ugly head from time to time. Where do you draw the line? Where do you say, OK, I can't live my life like this anymore. But at the same time, you risk losing that wonderful person that shares that same body.
Love isn't enough. I mean, that's just the truth. We want to think love is enough, but it actually isn't. You need compatibility in the way that you want to live life. You need compatibility in the future that you want to have together. You need someone who is capable of meeting your core needs. Not every single one of the needs you could ever have, but your core needs. And if being with this person is fundamentally incompatible with a life of peace and happiness for you, the idea that staying with them is one day going to make you happy is science fiction. The idea that they're going to change is science fiction. Consider for a moment how hard it is for us to change anything. Like, you wake up New Year's Day, You have all these things you'd like to do this year. We all do. We make a few resolutions. Just think for a moment. You made those resolutions because you were motivated, because you wanted that change to happen, because you really were serious about it. Then consider how hard it was to actually stick to those resolutions. And you wanted to. So now take a person who doesn't even want to. Take a person who's not even chosen it as their resolution. What they want is just to get you off their back. That is not someone who's intrinsically motivated. And change is really hard, even when you're intrinsically motivated. So the idea that this person is going to change is a fantasy. And especially, by the way, if the change you want is like, would mean essentially a personality transplant for them. Most of us change like 5-10%. And that's, by the way, that's beautiful. That's not pessimistic. 5-10% will change the whole trajectory of your life. But when we change, we do not get a personality transplant. If for you to be happy in fundamental ways, they would need a personality transplant, you must assume it will never happen. And when you leave that person or decide to cut them off, it will hurt. And that hurt will trick you into thinking you have made the wrong decision. Because when something hurts really badly, it feels like it must be wrong. But just because it hurts, it doesn't mean it was the wrong decision. Some of the greatest hurt is over some of the best decisions in our life.
So therefore, everyone listening to this show right now, in a relationship, end it.
No, go through the pain.
Just pull the plug. Go through that pain. You know, one of my favorite things, Matthew, that you've said in the past, and you've said it several times, is the most dangerous moment is when you decide and you feel like you really like someone. When you find that person who you really connect with, and you're like, okay, where do we go with this? That's a, you use the word dangerous, actually, a dangerous moment. What does that mean?
It's, I talk about this in the book as the four levels of importance.
The book, Love Life?
The book, Love Life. Which, by the way, if you want a copy, you can go to lovelifebook.com.
Well, can't I go to the other places too?
You can also go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you want.
You make more of a percentage if I go to your website.
No, we actually have some freebies that we're giving away on that website.
Oh.
Don't do that. Don't give away freebies.
Oh, you always hate when I give away things
for free. You're not cheap
and tawdry. These sweatshirts that you have, are those freebies? They're cute.
They're part of the, for everyone who buys a book is entered into a giveaway for those sweatshirts.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
Can we enter to win?
You can register at lovelifebook.com.
Okay. Okay, so the moment that is most dangerous is when you meet them and decide, oh my God, I really, really have a feeling this is something.
Yeah, because that's mutual attraction feels hard to find, right? We especially when we're single and we really want to find love. When we find someone who we're attracted to, firstly, that feels rare. Then, if they like us back,
whoa,
it feels like the holy grail. It feels right. Like this is it. And we want to give everything to it. But the problem is, there's two levels beyond that. There's commitment and there's compatibility. And if we don't have those, we have this amazing connection, but to what end? We have to slow ourselves down when we decide something is that important. It doesn't mean you have to ignore your feelings. It means you have to check your feelings and go, okay, I've been on an amazing date with someone. It was great. It felt incredible. But right now, I am not seeing this person's character. I am seeing their impact on me. Mm-hmm. And there is a huge difference. And by the way, not to be too kind of, you know, fear-mongering on this side of the spectrum, but some of the worst people, some of the biggest narcissists are the greatest at creating the biggest impact on you when you meet them.
Oh, they're hot. I love a hot narcissist.
Well, how long do you think it takes for you to find out the real person? Because like you said, you put your best foot forward in the beginning.
I think you have to see them in multiple contexts, have different experiences with them, mm-hmm. and start to see them over time, because character is consistent, right? Impact can be momentary, but character is consistent. And in order to measure consistency, you have to be seeing this person regularly. You have to see, how much do they invest 3 weeks from now? And if, by the way, the answer is, well, we had an amazing two dates, but I haven't heard from them for 2 weeks, then you're learning exactly how much they're investing 3 weeks in.
Exactly.
See, I think you should stress people out.
He really looked at Audrey when he said that.
Right, Audrey?
Obviously, we know where you got that chapter from.
I think you got to stress people out immediately and early so that you can see how they handle conflict, because that's something that you don't see for a really long time, and that can be a huge deal between people.
Well, I do think, I'm not sure about the proactively stressing them out.
Yes, proactively.
I think going through things together is a good thing. Like, going through hard times is one of the greatest measures of any relationship. And that doesn't mean you should necessarily engineer hard times, but what it does mean is that if you haven't been through any hard times with anyone, be careful about saying that this is it. This is the person.
No matter, you don't know them.
You have no idea who they are.
You don't know how they're going to react.
Right. How they treat their parents. Mm. How they treat a server at a restaurant.
Yeah.
How they, there's all those little things. And you're like, I get that immediately. By the way, I'm going to take one call. Then we have to take a break. But there's more. Unless you got to go. What's your timing?
No, I'm so happy here.
He's loving life here.
Hello, Aaron.
Hi, good morning.
You just ordered Love Life, starring Matthew Hussey.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
And so you're actually calling to say thank you for calling me out on my shenanigans. Oh. What does that mean for you? What does that mean in your mind?
I don't know. I guess I've never really thought about it. You know, like, I just have always assumed, like, I found crappy people in life, and, like, I just have learned to deal with it. But that's, like, when he said, you know, like, why are we choosing to deal with it? Like, what is it in us that makes us, and the fact that maybe it's not, like, real love, it's just like an attraction thing that, to me, I think it goes back to like childhood. Mm. Like, there was never like real affection or emotion or things like that. So to me, like, I find those people that need to be worked on, fixed on, and cured, and I think I'm the solution, and I'm not. I'm not the solution, and it's too much work.
I had a friend, Erin, who was with a guy that treated her awfully, and she was with him for a while. And then when she found a new relationship after that one that really hurt her, she found this amazing guy, lovely, treated her well, and it was a really healthy relationship in the beginning. And her mum asked her one day, you know, how's it going? And she said, it's so weird, mum. He's so nice to me. And her mum looked at her and said, that's how it's supposed to be. And so, Erin, what I want to say to you is, that other behavior that deep down you might really need, that safety, that person who really sees you, that person who really shows up for you, that person who's consistent, that might present as really unfamiliar when you first get it from someone. And when something's that unfamiliar, it's a bit uncomfortable, it's weird, it can even be boring, Erin. It can feel kind of boring, like this isn't the chaos I'm used to. But that doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's not what I'm used to. And it might take me a little bit to acclimatize to something that's more healthy, especially if I've never had it.
I want boring in my life.
Boring is actually exciting sometimes. Like my dad always said,
I would love it.
Doing nothing is doing something. Mm. And so if I can have just a relaxing night with you with no and no arguing, I'm totally fine with it. Totally fine with it. A quick question from Frog, then we've got to take a break. What's up, Frog?
I always say that I would rather do the most mundane, boring thing with the most wonderful person that I enjoy spending time with than doing the most magical, wonderful thing with the wrong person, because it ruins that experience because it's with the wrong person.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's so good. Yep. And I would say,
you guys have my heart through the roof. My heart is like beating out of my chest.
It's why we have to be really careful if we look at our dating life with someone early on and we just keep doing all of these kind of shiny, exciting things, because those can actually mask how little connection we have with someone. You know, the person you can fold laundry with and you're having the best time because you're just talking and lost in this amazing conversation, that's fantastic. The person you have to keep going on fancy dates with and it comes back and you're just like, oh my God, there's so much here. It's like, well, it might just be that the food at that restaurant was amazing. It might be that you went to an amazing show. Yeah. It might not be anything to do with the connection you're having with that person. It's the experiences that this is providing.
Erin, thank you so much for your call. And by the way, Erin, she said that classic thing that we hear all the time. Oh my God, you're hitting home with me. No, we're hitting home with a lot of people, because what you're experiencing is what all of us experience. So this is our community.
Alone.
Okay, Matthew Hussey, a little more in a second. I'm done.
Elvis Duran in the Morning Show.
This spring, get HelloFresh and enjoy easy recipes delivered to your doorstep. Plus, join today and you'll get free dessert for life. at HelloFresh.com/Elvis. That's one free dessert item per box with an active subscription at HelloFresh.com/Elvis.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
Whoa! Oh my God.
Come on, guys.
I want food now.
I had no idea my voice was that annoying.
I used to listen to another station, and then I found you guys, and I got hooked.
So refreshing. Love you guys.
Oh, my gosh. I love you.
Elvis Duran and the Morning Show.
His book is called Love Life, or it could be Love Life. You could say it either way, because it... I get it. Oh, it means many things. Love life and love life. And love life. People commenting, Matthew, oh my God, that's such an amazing show. Much needed topic on relationships. Thank you for this conversation. For Matthew, this is all great. But what about when you're 20 years into a relationship? Should you still expect to have great conversations while you're folding laundry? What if you start to need those amazing restaurants and experiences to generate new conversations? Does this mean love is no longer enough?
Well, I think in any...
Should I turn your microphone on? Yes, sir.
In any long-term relationship, newness is important. So I think the balance can shift there, where you're like, are we bringing newness into our relationship?
I had a third party. Bring a third person in.
That's new and fresh.
Come on, let's do it. Who's with me? Hey, a lot of people have been commenting about how they feel as if you are digging up things that they have buried. And I think this book could be great for all of us who think we know it all. Love Life, Matthew Hussey. Another call. Then we'll, is it Angela, line 20? Yeah. Hello, Angela. Say good morning to Matthew Hussey.
Good morning, Matthew.
Hey, Angela.
What's going on?
Hi. I had a question as far as, like, with dating, having dated a narcissist. Like, what's the best way to know when you're, like, dating a narcissist and how to, like, get a... What's the best way to break away from them? Because they can seem very kind of addictive.
I think the truth is, I think one of the traps we get stuck in, Angela, is trying to diagnose someone when we're not an expert. And you don't need to diagnose someone. What you need to check in with is your actual experience. Am I happy? Are my needs getting met? Or am I trying to figure out if this person is a diagnosable narcissist? Which is what you're doing. And if that's the case, you have to say, how did I get here? What's going on that I'm even asking these questions? And how long has it been going on for? How many times have I cried? How many times have I tried to change it? And nothing has changed. And then what you have to do is go into a place of acceptance that this person, if they haven't changed so far, why would I think they're going to change now? And if I have to leave, the hardest thing to do is to be the one who lights the fuse that blows up your own life. That is really, really hard. But you have to accept that if you stay, you'll never be happy. And if you leave, there will be an initial mess. There will be, especially if this is a difficult person. They're probably not going to make your life easy. Instead of hoping that won't happen, accept that it might, accept that it's coming, and surrender to the fact that on the other side of that mess is a far greater degree of peace and happiness than you have experienced in a long, long time, and that it's worth going through that mess to get to that.
Enjoy the mess, Angela. I know.
That's the hard part.
I know. Easy for us to say, but can you imagine actually going, okay, I know that if I go through this mess, it's going to be a mess, but I'm going to be so much stronger out of that mess, then okay, let's get messy. All right, Angela, thank you so much. Before you leave, I want to, the last chapter in your book, Love Life, which is available at lovelifebook.com, is Happy Enough. Mm. Wow. Those two words are pretty powerful because a lot of people are like, you know, I don't know if I've found happiness quite yet. I don't know. Am I happy? I don't know. And you really kind of address that in this chapter, and it really makes me kind of calm in a way.
Yeah, because I think we always talk about, I cringe a little when I hear people say, you have to be happy and whole before you ever meet someone. And I'm like, how many married people do you know that were happy and whole before they met someone? Like we all come to a relationship with stuff. We all have baggage. We all have wounds that we're still trying to heal. And by the way, that we have to stop pathologizing people who feel lonely because they haven't found someone and feel sad that it hasn't happened yet. Those are normal feelings to feel. We all have the longing for love. So instead of aiming for happy, which I think is intimidating and makes us feel inadequate for not being able to get there, happy enough says, if my life stayed the way it is today, I'd actually be okay. Maybe I can even admit that if I found someone, it would be even better. I can admit that. But you know what? I'm happy enough to hold. I'm happy enough to say no to the wrong thing when it comes along. I'm happy enough that when the right thing comes along, I don't change and act like someone who can't lose it because I'll die if I lose this person that's so right for me. Happy enough is a superpower. It is not settling. It is this strong foundation from which to take risks, show your magic again, and actually get out there. You can take big risks when you know you can go home to yourself and still be okay.
I love, yeah. I love that. I love that. That was something every one of us needed to hear. And you know what? Every once in a while, Matthew, you do say something that's good and right.
From time to time. Once in a while.
Every once in a while, that pearl of wisdom will roll out of your oyster. It's fabulous. You know we love you. We love you. Love life.
Lovelifebook.com.
Of course, it's Love Life. Matthew Hussey, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
That was awesome.
It's the weekend.
Hey, this is Miley Cyrus.
Yo, what up? It's the Black Eyed Peas.
Hey, this is Selena Gomez with Elvis Duran and The Morning Show.
Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is here to satisfy morning cravings with its warm, sweet cinnamon sugar rolled dough, ooey-gooey texture, and signature cream cheese frosting. Get the best part in every bite this morning with Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart, only at participating U.S. Wendy's.